Herzlich willkommen zum facettenreichen Podcast Das Herz einer Frau. Kommunikation, Emotionen und Temperamente. Hallo und herzlich willkommen beim Podcast Das Herz einer Frau. Mein Name ist Kim Yasmin. And this episode is going to be in English because I spoke with Nicole Messia McNavar. Wow, I met her in the yoga teacher's training and she was always sitting in the back, but she had a very capturing presence. And I kept on looking to her and then we had one conversation and somehow I figured out that her husband was doing a documentary while we were doing the teacher's training. And he has been surfing the biggest wave in the world, which is in Portugal. And he had an accident. And through yoga and a couple of other holistic healing techniques, he started healing again. And she is managing him for a couple of years, but also being a teacher, traveling with her kids, with her husband, and now creating together with her husband this beautiful holistic center for surfers in Hawaii. And I just was like, wow, what a strong woman. And I also asked myself the question, what do you do if you have a husband who is such a famous person? And how do you encounter that? And what is it that, again, makes you in a way strong through that? Or what is also maybe the challenge of that? But moreover, of course, for you women, the question, how is she doing that? She has two kids, she's traveling the world, she went to yoga teacher's training with basically her whole family, including her mother, her brother, and her husband, her kids, and doing that, creating the reality she always wanted to have. And it was such an inspiration. We did the interview before one of our classes. And it was such an honor, Nicole, when you listen to that right now. And I wish all of you women out there that you, if you haven't started that yet, through this interview, you start dreaming again. And you start visualizing that everything or realizing that everything is possible, but it's all about our mindset. It's all about what is up there. What is this thing in our teacher's training? They always said the motherfucker in our mind. What is it telling us? And what can we let go in order to go there where we want to go? Create, visualize what we want. So yes, get inspired. And enjoy this podcast interview. Hallo und willkommen zum Herz einer Frau. Mein Name ist Kim Yasmin und ich sitze hier mit Nicole Messias McNavar. Welcome.
Thank you.
We are going to change into English. So I hope you guys, most of you are already used that we have from time to time an English interview in between. First of all, I also want to welcome you today, and we are sitting here in beautiful Bali in front of our beautiful yoga center, and I met Nicole here in our yoga teacher's training. It's interesting because one thing I really want to start with you before we really go into your history is that you call yourself a spiritual seeker and you also nomad. You're a mother of two, you're a wife. Work a lot, you do yoga, you go your spiritual path. So my question first, and I guess if you all hear that out there, is like, how is she doing that? Where does she get her energy from?
Yes, when you lay it all out, it is a lot. One step at a time, one moment at a time, one breath at a time. We can only do one thing in every moment. So I found that the greatest way to accomplish anything is with intent. So every moment of every day is a choice of whether it's going to bring us closer to the woman we want to be or farther away from the woman we want to be. So it's really just making conscious choices and being firm in the woman that you want to share with the world.
So when you take us back on your personal journey, when did it start that you actually thought, do I want to be the woman that I am right now? And when did you start to make intents for every moment or maybe every day of your life?
It's a process.
We're not allowed to say any ups anymore.
Learn take a breath.
Training.
I would say in college, it's the first time you're out of your parents' home and you can make your own decisions for yourself. And I think for most people, when they get to college, it's let's make a bunch of bad decisions since we've been trapped and controlled for 18 years. So I wouldn't say I made bad decisions, but they definitely weren't conscious choices. It was more like, I'm free. I'm going to embrace my freedom and do whatever the heck I want. So then towards the end of college, that's when I started to think more about what am I doing to my body? What are my gifts? What do I want to share with the world? Especially when you're getting towards graduation, it's like, okay, now I'm going to be out in the real world and I have to decide a career path and I have to decide what I want for my future. So that was probably when I really started thinking about what do I want to share with the world.
It's interesting because it seems to me that's in some ways so early. I often observe in the outside world that something really major has happened, that you wake up being like, oh my God, I can't continue like that. So was it for you talking to friends who maybe already were ahead of you, or what made you, or did you read some books that were waking you up? Did you have an enlightened moment?
Definitely books. I love books. I think for anybody out there who really wants to start any journey, books can be a great way to open your mind to new ideas. There's great books out there that give you practical steps you can take to start even finding yourself again. Because as a mother, as a woman, in a male-dominated society, even if you're not a mother, it's hard to not even know yourself because you're so busy figuring out how to be in the world and be accepted. So yes, books with practical steps, practical tools to just get you thinking about finding yourself again, connecting with your spirit again.
What was one of the books that majorly influenced you?
Influencing like the way I walk through the world would definitely be Deepak Chopra's 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. Mm-hmm. That's a great one just to work on your overall self. A great one to help you start finding your light again, your own personal light, and you're connecting to your spirit. It's called Light is the New Black by mm-hmm. Rebecca. And I don't know how to say her last name.
I will put that in the show notes afterwards.
But that book is written so beautifully that anyone can pick it up without any spiritual background or anything and connect to it. It's written simply. It's not some yoga bandha book that you have to read one sentence 100 times to understand it. It's comprehensible, like you can take it in, and it has so many little exercises to do to just get you started on your path of connecting with yourself.
When you talk about light, what is it for you? Because I know I have listeners who are not very spiritual in a way, but seeking for it or even are very afraid of it. They have this image of a woman sitting in her meditation seat praying to the sun, which she can do.
Yes.
But if you would put it in a very easy way, what is that light inside of you, or how does it look when someone doesn't have the light or doesn't bring it out?
So every single person on this planet all 7 billion of us, I don't know how many there are right at this exact moment, but every single one of us was born with something that we can do better than anyone else in the world. Maybe we do it a little differently. Maybe it's our own special touch. But every single person, man, woman, child, I don't care. Like, we were born with one special gift that we have come here to share with the world to make it a better place. So whether you're spiritual or not, it's like you have a gift, something that you can do better than anyone. And that's what you've come here on Earth to do, is figure out what that gift is. Like, that's a whole... that's a mission in itself, is to just figure out, what is my gift? Like, why am I here? Why was I born? Mm-hmm. And then once you find that gift, then it takes a whole nother amount of steps to get the strength to share that gift and figure out how to share it with the world. And that has nothing to do with spirituality. For an example, my husband, he surfs biggest waves in the world. He often gets invited to do inspirational talks for corporations. So he went and he did this inspirational talk, and the last sentence of his speech is often that. It's like, every single one of you were born with a gift, something you can do better than anyone. It's your job to figure it out. He goes through his life about how he wanted to be a professional surfer, but he gave up on his dream because he thought he had to support his family, and he opened up the store, and every day he's driving to the store and he's so depressed looking at the waves because he wants to be at the waves, but instead he's at the store. So he sat down and he wrote down his goals, and this is huge. It's like road mapping. You write down at the top of the paper, what do you want to be doing? And you write down everything you need to do every day. What are the steps every day to make it happen? He did that. He ended up winning like the largest purse prize. He closed his store and he's been a professional surfer ever since. So he does this whole speech about explaining his past, explaining, you know, having to just go for it and not let the fear overtake you. About 6 months after the speech, we're at this factory that has nothing to do with anything. They make cork stuff. And at the end, they bring the new marketing guy that they just hired. And he shakes Garrett's hand. He's like, you probably don't remember me, but I was at your speech. This was in Portugal that we're meeting this guy. The speech was in the United States. And he says, I was at your speech in Florida, and I went home that night after listening to you talk, and I wrote down my goals, which was to move back to Portugal to be with my family and have a job around sustainability. And I wrote down my goals, and I looked at them every day, and I quit my job in the States and I moved back to Portugal, and I got this amazing job, and I'm living my dreams now. So it's just taking the steps. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we both right now have goosebumps. Wow, I have two questions to that. First one that came into my mind, you said when you graduated, or before you graduated in college, you already were broadening your mind that there's maybe something else, or maybe there's something like a light inside of you. You haven't met at that point your husband yet, or yes?
No.
Okay. So just to go back to that time, because I just was wondering, what was that inside of you? What was so strong in that age already to be like, okay, I must have goals, or there is something more?
So I started having the feelings towards the end of college that I knew, like, I can't even describe this feeling. It's almost like a suffocation that I knew I was supposed to be doing something else, or something bigger, something, anything. On the first day of college, I had met my college sweetheart, you could say, and we were together all through college. We were together after college. We bought a house together. We got married. And even in the month before the wedding, like, I knew, like, it was like a boulder on top of me that I was not supposed to get married. Like, I said to him, I'm like, it's not right. Like, we're not living to our full potential together. Like, we're not lifting each other up, expanding each other, bringing each other to new levels. Like, we're actually keeping each other down, and it's not inspiring. And he's like, oh, but when we get married, it'll change. When we get married, it'll change. And I still had the boulder on top of me, knowing it wasn't what I was supposed to do. And you know, it's scary when you have a wedding in a month and people flying from Europe and all your college friends and the money you put into this wedding. And I went through with it. I got married. I cried. Like, I was crying the whole
you were not running
days
away.
Before. I didn't run away yet. And I was crying, and my dad came to the door to get me to walk me down the aisle, and I'm just, like, crying, sobbing. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, I just don't want to do this. Like, I don't, it's not right. But I did it because I was afraid. 13 days after I got married, I went to Puerto Rico for a stand-up paddleboard race because that's where I used to compete while I was teaching middle school science, and Garrett was there.
Your new husband. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I met Gary, I mean, it was just so strong. It was like the feeling I got was of just freedom. Like, the boulder was completely gone. It was like I could spread my wings and anything is possible. The sky's the limit. Like, someone who believed, like, you don't have to be at this place of lack and limitation and suppression. Like, there is freedom out there. There is expansion. And that was one of the things. It's like, surround yourself with expanders. Like, slowly start to limit the time you spend with negative people and toxic people. And slowly start to spend a little bit more time with people who expand you and people you look up to and people who inspire you, because that will rub off on you. It's like spending these 26 days with Anna, it's like, I'm gonna miss her and her words of wisdom. So find somebody in your community, start volunteering something that lifts you up, and who's running that organization, hang out with them, ask them to have tea with you. Just surround yourself with the people you want to be like, that fill you up.
And how is it, because that's also often the fear I hear when you now talk about you and your husband both going in your light and following your path. But have you ever, if one of you is stronger in sometimes, or maybe you said he's not only a professional surfer, he's a very well-known surfer. Did you have times where you also struggled with that, like feeling in a way that it was not easy to get your light, or did you always have this possibility to spread and find your own light in other things?
It's more of a personal issue than him. So he is 100% supportive of me focusing on any of my passions, any of my lights. I wanted to be a midwife, so I was assisting midwifery, and I'd have to leave in the middle of the night, and he would watch the kids, like, no problem. He supports everything I want to do. It's a matter of me finding the inner strength to say, okay, you ride big waves. I don't need to stand behind you and let you have all the glory and all the fame. Like, I really love to peyote stitch, so at night I'm going to do a little bit of that. It's just... Yeah, you've got to stand your ground and take the space and the time for yourself, no matter what's going on around you.
That's so beautiful wisdom, in a way that also it is our fears in that moment that stand in our way, and we don't often maybe see that the other one is in favor of us and would do everything, and we kind of...
Yeah, we're afraid.
Yeah, we're afraid.
It's easier to let other people shine. And I hope it's not coming off like it's easy. It's hard work, and I've struggled with it, and it's definitely a process. I have to work on it every day. It's work. That's why it goes back to conscious choices and, you know, thinking before you make a decision. Is this serving me? Is this serving the ultimate goal?
Beautiful. You said in the beginning, you said in the beginning when you went from college, you became a science teacher and you were also teaching. And you kind of went on the totally different track. So when did that happen? Like, after you actually then met Garrett and the next steps came, and in which way spirituality came onto your path, and maybe a more in a bigger way.
So I am back out of teacher training, so back to the teaching path.
And when
when I was little, I always wanted to be a teacher, and I would make the neighborhood kids homework so I could grade their papers. Yeah, I didn't have very many friends, obviously.
Wow!
But spiritually speaking, I am lucky in that, so not to get too spiritual, but my grandmother basically helped start the New Age movement.
Oh.
One of her really good friends is Marianne Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
She's written numerous books.
Is she not only like a friend of Louise?
Hey, Gay? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I grew up around those women.
Wow.
And
no wonder you started college with that. Yes. Get that ass again.
So I spent a lot of time in workshops about healing your heart when I was 12, and I would pass out the pens and paper to the adults who are crying about their traumas and everything. And I also spent a lot of time when I think it was the summer that I was 12 with in a hospice with people dying, and because my grandmother was a minister for Science of Mind, which is, you know, it's non-denominational. So she was the minister, and she would go there and like help them transition to the next thing. So I was just following my grandmother around through all these things. So
do you have memory of that?
Yes.
Besides just what you did? Like,
I have a memory of one specific person that was in the hospice. And because it was in LA during the 80s and 90s when the AIDS was really rampant. So it was an AIDS hospice. Mm-hmm. So everybody there had AIDS. But there was one specific patient, Richard. He was in a wheelchair, and I would do arts and crafts with him every day. And then I also remember there was a blind man, and he was living longer than everybody in the hospice, and they thought it was because he couldn't see all the pain and suffering of like his friends and everything, so it kept him around longer because he wasn't witnessing the pain with his eyes from everybody around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember certain things. So yeah, that started my spiritual journey.
But besides that, when you were saying like all this, the New Age movement, for example, affirmations, you probably came along with them as well very, very early. And how, do you remember a feeling you had when you were so young, when they maybe, I don't know, formed affirmations for somebody in the course? And
it was amazing. It was the best memories of my childhood, really, was spending the time with my grandmother and her friends. But then you have to remember, I went home to my house with my father, you know, who was not so enlightened and didn't practice affirmations, quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a balance, and, you know, you spend more time in your house than with your grandmother. And then when I hit high school, I didn't really spend as much time with my grandmother. I was not allowed out of my house, really. So, you know, I wouldn't say I was lost, but I definitely wasn't as connected as when I was spending that time with my grandmother. And then I just couldn't wait to be 18 and get away from my father. So in college, I just wanted to be free and not care about anything. So that's what I did. And it was fun.
I think it's also important to go through that stage.
Yeah, you have to. To know the balance, to know the opposite.
So now you are on the road, a nomad. Are you actually part of the movement of the digital nomads?
No. I wouldn't even know how to explain that. I'm not sure I know what it is.
The digital nomads?
It's like the bloggers, right? Who just like post their travels. Is that what it is?
No, it's actually people working.
Oh, okay, okay. So the guy who we were sitting with is one of those people.
Ah,
at lunch.
Yes,
Okay. No, we're not that.
But Norman, as I said, so that's good. Then we stay with that question. You are right now normading, so which I think is amazing, and this is something women out there, I have to tell you, she came with her whole family to Bali. Basically, her mom is with her, your brother is with her, her husband, the kids, everybody, and does this teacher training. And I can imagine, and I know from some people as well, they would tell me right away, being in Germany, having your kids there with your husband, it's like the first question they would have in mind, how is it even possible? Like, and besides that, also creating it in your head, but also allowing that to yourself, that it's okay. You're now in the teacher's training, and then everybody's taking care of the kids. One of her daughter was skateboarding, yeah, right? Which is crazy. Yeah, she's like 1.5 years old.
Yeah, not even 1.5. Yeah, crazier than her brother.
So, what is it? I mean, what was the stage before? And when you can also take us back, maybe even 2 years or something, where how when did it happen that you could allow something to yourself like that? And when did you get on the road?
Allow myself to take a teacher training.
No.
Or just the traveling,
Just the traveling and no, or allowing, that's the wrong word, but maybe taking, knowing that you can go on the road with your whole family.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So, before we had our son, Beryl, who's 5, he just turned 5 while we were here at this teacher training. Before Beryl, we were nomads, not digital nomads in the sense, but I think the first 2 years of Garrett and I's relationship, we didn't have a house. Like, we just had one suitcase and that was it. And we would just go wherever we wanted, wherever the waves were, and it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, we look back on that. That's fine. And then we discovered the biggest wave in the world in Portugal. So then our time was really split between Hawaii and Portugal. So we would always spend about half of the year, give or take, in Portugal and Europe. And then I wanted to be a mother. Mm-hmm. So Beryl was very consciously conceived. And we went into it saying, nothing's going to change. A lot changed, but one thing that didn't change was we just kept Beryl with us all the time. So if we had a business dinner, Beryl came with me and I would just strap him on and he slept on my chest. Beryl's first plane was when he was 3 weeks old. The day after he was born, we were in the passport office. Because I just knew that I wanted to continue traveling. I wanted to continue being with my husband because, I mean, that's the career we made, was that we went everywhere together. I handled the business stuff, so I didn't want that to change either. So it was like Beryl was coming with me because I wasn't going to leave him with somebody and I wasn't going to stay behind. So I just strapped him on. I literally strapped him on to me. And by the time he was a year old, he had been on 150 airplanes.
Wow.
Yeah. But then the second one came. And she has a much different personality than Beryl. But she hasn't been on as many airplanes. I have been staying behind more because it is a challenge. I'm not going to say that it's easy and just, oh yeah, grab your kids and go travel. You have to prepare yourself. And I think the biggest thing to prepare yourself is to not have any expectations of anybody else. Like you are. You are going to have to rely on yourself to take care of the kids and everything. And if you get extra help from your husband, if you get extra help from anybody, it's a blessing. Be grateful. But plan on having the bulk of the responsibility. It falls on us as women. It's just, this is as it is now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll change for the future, but right now it falls on us. So you just got to know that you can do it and you do it.
Was it a process for you also to leave the expectation behind?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've just kind of figured that out this month. The expectation. Someone was just like, Garrett, do this, Garrett, do that. And, you know, they don't have men do not have the same brain as us. They cannot anticipate, you know, that the baby needs something. But as women, we know exactly what everybody needs at every moment of the day. So I can't expect him to think like me, so I just have to be grateful. When he does take the kids skateboarding, even though he puts the 16-month-old baby on dropping in on the skateboard. I have to let it go and just be grateful he took the kids while I was in training. Yeah, so it's letting go and it's not having expectations. But it's possible. You can travel with your kids. Hmm. And it's the best thing for your kids. I mean, they get shoved right into these boxes at school, and there's such a big world out there, and there's so many beautiful people to meet, and it's amazing to see how my son interacts with other people, and he's so welcoming and loving towards anyone of any race, any color, any culture, and it's just because he's been around so many people since the day he was born.
Would you also say that without really comparing, but also maybe seeing kids that have been brought up just in one place, like that he is in a way, yeah, very open-hearted, yeah, and very welcoming with others?
I think it goes more into the structure of the school systems and how the schools, it doesn't matter your abilities, it doesn't matter anything. It's like, if you're five, you're in a classroom with other five-year-olds, no matter if you're more mature, less mature, can read, can't read, can write, they just say, since you're five, you're the same as every other five-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way the world is. So if you take them out of that room where they're saying, you're just like every other five-year-old, you're giving your child permission to be who they really are, which is completely different than every other person on the planet. They aren't like every five-year-old. They don't belong with just five-year-olds. They belong around people of all ages and all colors and all sizes, so they can figure out what speaks to their spirit, and so they can show you who they actually are, not just their age.
So are you doing that homeschool?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go with that. You guys, you're going afterwards to Portugal, and you have a very beautiful project in Hawaii, and I would like to also do the closure with that project, because I think it brings also a lot of things in that you are now bringing here from Bali. So what is it, what you're now creating in Hawaii?
So one of the main reasons I came to this training was so that I could learn the tools to not only heal myself, it was really honestly less about myself, because I do feel very grounded and I feel like I have a good foundation to go and continue my spiritual journey. I didn't feel like I really needed to come for that, but I wanted to come and learn the process of helping other people through their traumas, through their healing. I wanted to learn so that I could help my husband with his traumas and his injuries, and then my brother, and take that back to Hawaii, where we will have retreats for, we're going to start with people who just want to come and learn to surf, learn to get in the water and be safe in the water and feel comfortable in the water, but also at the same time work on themselves. It's not just like, oh, come, you know, learn to surf. No, it's like, come learn the tools to make your dreams possible. So everything we've talked about, it's like, what are the tools? It's like, mm-hmm, it sounds all pretty and nice, and yeah, it'd be nice to do that. How do you do it? Like, yes, nobody ever tells you, how do you do it? Like, here are the steps. This is what you need to work on.
That's totally true. It's like, yeah, set goals. Then you sit at home, yeah, and we all know, we learned this month, the motherfucker, yeah, of your, yeah, mind. I know there's a very big podcast in Germany. Her name is Laura, and she always says, Bullshit FM. So it's kind of like a radio station.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And sitting with him in your head at the same time, writing down your goals.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. So how do you shut down it
yeah,
and then go to whatever you want? And then, like, yeah, you said, one thing I realized also for myself here is it's a daily process. You're not just being today like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this, and then you just close it up and leave it behind you. You kind of have to go along it.
It's daily practice. It's finding ritual. Like, we practice ceremony every morning, which we're super lucky to get that experience, but it comes down to ritual, which ritual is finding ceremony in your everyday life. So what is going to be your one little ritual? And this is what I've really found as a mother. Like, it is
what
easier. It is easier when you don't have kids to have a ritual. I will say that. That is fact. When you have kids who don't even let you go to the bathroom or take a shower, it is nearly impossible to find ritual, but you've got to do it. Even if it's as simple as making yourself a really amazing tea with a little dash of cinnamon. Like, just do something extra to make it special and like a ritual. Maybe it's buying yourself the most beautiful face oil you can find and making sure that every time after you take a shower, it's your ritual that you're going to take the minute, whether you have a kid pulling at your pants or not, to put the oil on your face and look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. That could be your ritual. It's just one little thing. Just practice it every day, and as you get really good at making sure you do that one little simple thing for yourself, you can start adding on and grow your ritual.
What was your first ritual?
My I Am Beautiful face oil. It's the best face oil. You should check it out. It's I Am Beautiful.
Really? It
yes.
Sounds like that? Okay. I will also put it in the show notes.
It's by Ascended Health. Oh, it's the best. It's like infused with these crystals that protect your face from sun damage. No, like, this oil is...
And you feel afterwards,
yes,
like, yes, I am.
Yeah. Even if you have poop all over you.
You already have one question answered I normally have in the end, which is the books, and I will stay with the two because they start with them, and then we can still, I can still put books in you recommend. Two questions I always ask in the end, especially because it's so interesting how different women answered this question to me in the last couple of episodes. What does being a woman in 2019 mean for you?
Tough question. What does being a woman... It means being okay... embracing your masculinity. Because we're like so afraid, it's like we're expected to have masculine responsibilities yet be so entirely feminine that if somebody says that you're masculine, it's like an immediate trigger. It's like, well, I'm not a man, I'm not manly. It's like, no, we are tough. We are so much tougher than men. So why not embrace it? Yeah, that's right. I am super feminine, I'm beautiful, I'm a goddess, but being okay with being masculine and feminine. Just because you're masculine doesn't mean you're not a woman.
And if we stay with, it doesn't even have to be women qualities, but three things you love on being a woman and not a man, 2019. Mm.
That were extremely nurturing. You know, we're just born to be nurturers and lovers and compassion and empathy. It's much easier for us to have those qualities than man. And gosh, we're so lucky to have them so that we can feel and love each other and be there for each other. Men, it's harder for them to do that.
Yeah, they have different qualities.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for everybody listening.
Thank you for you out there. And I will also put your website then.
Instagram.
Yeah. And so you guys find her. And if you want to ever go to Hawaii, I know.
Yes.
I have also not only German speaking people on the podcast. So just also ask us questions. If you have any comments, things you want to share with us, please put that in the notes. I know you guys, you have been lazy. You're listening, you're writing me personal messages, but you are not putting anything underneath. So please share so we can grow the community.
This is how we can support each other. So share what you're asking. It might be the same exact question somebody else has.
That's the thing. And this is why also this podcast exists, because we always find a special thing we can also take in from another woman, or maybe take the step we actually want to take and not being afraid of it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim.
Lasst eure Herzen brennen. Schön, dass du heute wieder mit dabei warst bei dieser Podcast-Folge. Wenn du das Thema vertiefen möchtest oder dich mit anderen auch austauschen willst, dann kannst du das gerne in den Kommentarbereichen von Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify und auch iTunes. Außerdem, wenn du eine besondere Reise für dein Frauenherz buchen möchtest, zum Beispiel auch deine beste Freundin mitnehmen willst, dann kannst du dich informieren unter www.dasherzeinerfrau.de. Dort findest du auch alle anderen Podcast-Folgen. Wenn du auf dem neuesten Stand bleiben willst, wissen willst, was ich noch für Projekte habe, beziehungsweise was alles hinter dem Herz einer Frau steht, dann melde dich gerne über den Newsletter an oder kannst mir auch direkt schreiben, da freue ich mich. Bis zum nächsten Mal und denk daran, lass dein Herz brennen.